This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
High and inside, arching music, a little chin music, take that hitter for a ride.
It's time for some chin music.
Hey, how about a warning?
Sure. Watch out you don't get killed.
Because sometimes in baseball, you've got to send a strong message, especially when someone has it coming. Each Saturday, Inside the Clubhouse comes in high and tight with a response to something that deserves one, like this.
You know, we have a really good ball club, and I think we have a really good opportunity to have a lot of success this year and, you know, make it to the playoffs and have a run at the World Series. So, you know, I say it every year, that's our goal, to, you know, get to the World Series and win. So I don't see a whole lot of point in showing up just to come out and play some games and go home at the end of the day. You want to come up, show up, and win. You know, that's kind of what our jobs are revolved around, and, you know, that's what we like to do. We don't like to just come out here and just kind of run around. We want to come out and win games and, you know, play it at a high level and have a lot of fun doing it.
Says the guy who's like the Patrick Mahomes of baseball and always is in the ALCS or World Series. He's been in three of them. That's Kyle Tucker laying the law down of where the Cubs' expectations are in 2025. I loved hearing it. Bruce Levine down in Arizona, company houseman for the Chicago Cubs, making sure Sloan Park is sending the right message. And Ryan McGuffey here in Chicago holding the fort down here. So, houseman, are you okay with the World Series expectations laid out by Kyle Tucker?
Let me ask the Ricketts family what I should answer first before I... Look, it reminds me very much of 2017 when the Cubs were fighting again and eventually got to the LCS and lost to the Dodgers. And they were struggling at a certain point, and John Lackey came into the media room and he said, you know, he was angry, he was feisty, and he said, look, I didn't come here for a haircut. Mm-hmm. I came here to win the World Series, okay? That's pretty much what you hear from guys. And again, you have him from the Houston Astros in Tucker. You have Presley from the Astros, another guy that won two World Series there that was there, were in the LCS. The team that's been in the LCS seven straight years. Yeah. They expect to win, and that is a really great thing to have come back to you, because there are no players left on the Chicago Cubs that played on the World Series champion in 2016. The longest tenured player on the Cubs right now is Ian Happ. Ian Happ, who started in 2017 his career. So, and he's only 30 years old, so he's a young veteran. Bringing in players who have won elsewhere and can still contribute big time, that's huge. And hearing that message of a matter of fact, from Tucker here, that's music to my ears as a fan.
Absolutely. And it's from that particular player, too. I mean, that's the guy. We've been pumping him as the, you know, top five, top ten player in the game, which he is. And you'll see it for those who have not, you know, watched a lot of Houston Astros baseball. That should be the expectation. That should, if you're acquiring guys like Tucker, like Presley, those should be the expectation. They're not coming here to say I played at Wrigley Field. They're coming here to do both. Say that I played here and I won here. And you talked about, you know, 2016 and there's no more cup. It's been 9 years now, Bruce. 2016 was 9 years ago. We're almost a decade removed from that special season. And at some point, some new regime, some new group of players, some new superstar players need to be the next great Cubs team. And Kyle Tucker coming out in February and saying, look, what's the point of showing up if the end goal is not to be playing the last game of the year? I think that can elevate guys who have not been there before. I think that can. I think guys can go, okay, I see you, I raise you, I feel you. And for and guys like Matt Shaw, who we spoke to at the top of the show, who's making his major league debut this year, he understands what he's walking into as well. I like that everyone's on the same page with that statement.
312-644-6767. Get into the conversation with us. Come at me. Give me the best shot you've got out there.
Don't be afraid to swing at me, too.
Yeah, don't be afraid to go after the White Sox houseman, Ryan McDuffie, either. I mean, do not be afraid. Look, I had this conversation with counsel among some of the other media people here 3 days ago about a verbal leader. And he told me, he just reamed me out and said, we have that sound, so we can pull that back. Robbie can pull that back anytime. It's from 3 days ago where he said, hey, you know, Bruce, you've been watching too many TV shows and too many movies about verbal leaders. You know, tell me the last time you remember a verbal leader on a losing team. He said, so he's basically telling me that isn't it. But look, that's what Tucker did yesterday, right? Those comments were, that's a verbal leader. That's not a yeller and a screamer. But he's telling people matter-of-factly, we're here to win a World Series, and anything short, it's not going to be good enough. And I applaud Jed Hoyer's offseason, regardless of the way people look at it, trying to save his job. He might be trying to save his job, but he's trying to win by going out and getting one-year commitments with Tucker, with, you know, going after other guys that have one-year deals left, trying to win, okay? That's the ultimate goal. Any fan that sees that, regardless of the reason that they think it is, should feel good about it. Going after Bregman on a shorter deal, they're trying to win. So if you're a fan, applaud that.
And the Cubs are projected. Now, projections are for whatever you want to call, I mean, they are what they are, right? They're projected right now by Pecota to win, whatever, 91 games. They also are projected to be the top defensive team in baseball. So sometimes the top defensive team doesn't equate to a $400 million payroll. It's a lot of guys being, you're strong up the middle, you're strong in center field. You have gold glovers all over the place in your everyday nine, and some guys who are on the cusp of winning a gold glove. You're talking about saving runs at a clip that the Cubs could defensively. Again, it's projections, and maybe it's standing like I'm the company guy here too. Maybe they're building their team a little smarter while trying to win now with one-year deals. Let's go to the phone lines, because once Bruce invited people taking swings, they are filling up left and right. Jerry on the southwest side, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, guys. Hi, Bruce. So, yeah, I just want to make the point that I agree with the Cubs not paying what the Reds, with them not getting Bregman. I don't think it's the end of the world. But here's what, as a fan, bugs me. I don't know why Hoyer has to make the point of seemingly saying, because I think in his news conference he said something, at the end of the day, we just didn't have the budget to compete with the Red Sox offer. I think he said that. And I'm like, why doesn't he leave it at, we made an offer that we thought was competitive for what we thought for this player, and it wasn't enough, but that's fine. But it's like he made it sound like the Cubs just don't have the money, all right? And you know, that's why. Why does he do that?
That's a really good perception and take on your part, because he is in the last year of a contract. He is protecting himself at the same time trying to win. I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, on my job, I do the same thing. Ryan, would you do the same thing?
Yep.
I mean, you're saying, okay, on one hand, he profusely thanked the Ricketts family for going at this level of giving them money. And at the same time, he said, but we're not the Dodgers, and we didn't have the money to go to $40 million. We didn't think it was the money that we wanted to spend, $40 million a year for the 30-year-old third baseman. So, again, I think it's transparency. I think it's protection. I think it's all that you perceived on that phone call. And again, it's a very good phone call because the perception is right on.
312-644-6767. Spencer, I think, agrees that the Cubs did not sign Alex Bregman. He's in Sycamore. They got all my money in Sycamore. What's up, Spencer?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. I am in the very small minority, I would say. I'm happy the Cubs didn't get Alex Bregman. Obviously, I'd love him to be here, especially on a better deal. But, you know, if the Cubs did give him $40 million for a few years, it's already going to be near impossible for the Cubs to sign Kyle Tucker long term. And that really should be our goal. Everyone wants to win this year. I get that. So do I. I want the Cubs to win. But the end goal needs to be as competitive as you can to get Kyle Tucker here long term. And I think if you give Bregman $40 million a year, that's going to make it very hard.
Really good call. Yeah. Really good point by Spencer there.
It's a good point, but other people will be sitting out there going, why can't they get both?
I've been saying that right? All along.
Okay, why can't they get both? Well, again, you know, we can only report what we see and what we know, right, Ryan?
Yep.
What we see and what we know is the Ricketts family is going to go up to a certain amount. They're not going to go crazy and be Mr. Cohn in New York or the Dodgers who spend $380 million a year on their payroll and get, you know, ridiculous amounts of money. Their TV money, Ryan, is 3 to 4 times, and in some cases 5 times more than any other team gets in baseball.
Yeah, we say it every week on this show, Bruce, and I don't think people understand. I really don't. I mean, Marquee, you're getting, what are they getting, 50? You're talking about $330 to $40 million a year from a TV contract. It's a unicorn deal that we'll never see again.
And it goes for another 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
So that separates the Dodgers. Again, I'm not apologizing for the Cubs and White Sox not spending. I'm reporting what we know, okay? They're on a different level. The Padres, who have been trying to compete and spend way, way, way more than their market allows, okay, over the last 5 or 6 years because they had an owner that just wanted to step up and didn't care about making money. They don't have that anymore. Unfortunately, their owner passed away and there's new ownership there. AJ Preller, the president of baseball operations, now has a last gasp at trying to win. He's got guys in the last year of their contract. He's got $350 million players, 3 of them that are sitting there. If he doesn't win this year, either way, they're dumping money out. That's the reality of other markets, winning and losing, and then ownership going, you know what, we're tired of losing. We haven't won the World Series. You're going to have to change and change on the fly.
And you bring up the Padres, who are now being produced by Major League Baseball because they don't have a TV deal. So that's a part of it, too. One thing about Bregman before we go back to the phone lines. Look, Bruce said at the top of the show, he had a higher OPS than any visiting player in the history of Fenway Park at 75 or more at-bats. There's part of comfort there. Alex Cora, familiarity there with the manager who was once in Houston. Alex Bregman took both. The familiarity and success and the money. I actually, I'm on the side here too. $40 million for Alex Bregman, I'm good. I am. I'm good. Great player, but he's not, could you guarantee, and you can't guarantee going to the World Series with any player, I think he would have made the Cubs better, yes. For $40 million, I'm okay in this particular case with the Cubs losing out on Alex Bregman, assuming, at the deadline, when there's a superstar-type player available, that they're all in to make that happen. Back to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Kevin in Palatine, welcome to Inside the Clubhouse.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, Ryan, I totally agree with your last comment. I I don't care that they didn't get Bregman for 40. I actually don't care that they didn't get him, period. But what I don't accept as a Cubs fan, so first of all, I felt a little embarrassed that Jed went so hard in on praising us for having a seat at the table. That's some old school Rick Hahn stuff. Oh, we were in the room. Like, I don't want to hear that as Cubs fan. I don't want to hear you had a seat at the table. But what I don't want to hear already is that they have no shot at Tucker because Mr. Biblical Losses is already closing up his checkbook, Mr. Ricketts, for 2026, because he knows there's going to be a lockout in 2027. Because multiple people who work at this station have already reported Ricketts doesn't want all those outlays for a year that he might not have baseball. So that's what disappoints me. And, Bruce, you're right. I don't expect us to be the Dodgers or the Mets, but I certainly expect the Cubs to be the Phillies, the Red Sox, the Padres. They got to be up in that second tier. It's the highest game day experience in baseball. Ricketts can't keep – it's a self-imposed, it's a self-imposed payroll. And, you know, it's just – to me, that – I like Jed, but that fawning the other day, that to me was vomit-inducing.
Yeah, you know, it's – look, let's look at the reality. Let's take one step back. Theo Epstein left the Cubs for a couple of reasons. Number one was that the Ricketts family was not happy that they hadn't built a farm system. And number two, Theo, being the extremely brilliant baseball man that he was, knew that they weren't going to spend any money any longer on free agents, and there was going to be some losing going on, and another rebuild of as they did. So he left along with his $10 million a year salary, and Jed was in, came in with the charge of build that farm system that you guys didn't build the first 10 years that you were here. Okay, that's your job. We're not going after every free agent in the world until you prove to us and our fan base and show us you have a farm system that works, that we have the basis for a good team with that farm system. Then we'll talk about plugging in free agents again. And that is the reality of the Jed Hoyer regime at this point. Fighting to get those free agents, be able to plug in, and is the minor league system, Ryan, ready to really produce the everyday players that they need? Now, you have one in center field. You have a minor league player that was traded for with other minor leaguers at first base. You have a minor league third baseman now starting his career at third. You have a catcher that came from the farm system. You have three or four young pitchers that are starting to make their way through. Steele is certainly one of them. The bullpen starting to show some. You have Brown, who was traded again for another player, part of player development, and a number one pick in Wicks making their way. They're not quite there yet, Ryan. They're probably another year away with good health from minor league players being an important part of this team. And Hoyer is trying to hang on for this particular time where we'll spend money, you have young players, it's going to be a nice mix. And that's where they're headed for.
And that's where the fan hat on me will come into play. There's too much hope and faith in young guys for a team that's trying to win the World Series. You have Kyle Tucker saying win the World Series, and you just went through and named three players that are either in their first or second year, and that your projections for them and what the Cubs need from them is a major step to taking them to a 90-plus win team and getting them into the postseason. I think that's tough. I think it's a lot to put on those guys.
It is tough, but Hoyer is trying to perform to the way the job was described for him. And I think that's important to look at. And now he's fighting for his job and for winning and showing that the Cubs...
I'm going to interrupt you here, Bruce. If you're fighting for your job, are you doing everything it takes to keep it? Do you think that's what's happening?
He is.
Okay.
Going after Bregman was that, wasn't it?
Yeah. I would say yes.
He didn't have $40 million a year to offer him, okay? But he went to ownership and said, "We can do this. We need to do this. Will you give me the money for it?" And they said yes. okay? It wasn't enough money. And if you're a fan listening to this, you're angry hearing that from me because, you know, you said, well, why didn't you step up with another $20, $30 million, you know, to throw in, okay? My fan hat says, yeah, I want Bregman here too, but not for $40 million a year.
All right, so hang on the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Bruce and I have another segment. We're taking it up to DePaul at Xavier. That's at 1045 here on The Score. One note about the Phillies. The last call, I think Kevin mentioned we want to be the Phillies, who have over $300 million payroll. Bruce, they also have a 25-year TV contract that's $2.5 billion. They're getting $100 million a year. $100 million. It's not $350 like the Dodgers. They're getting $100 million. That's significant. That's significant. That's paying for Nick Castellanos. That's paying for Trey Turner, et cetera, et cetera. I know that Bruce and I are we keep crutching on the TV contracts here, but I'm telling you, folks, there are very few teams out there that have 8 to 10 years remaining on an RSN contract. This is Inside the Clubhouse. He's Bruce Levine in Arizona. I'm Ryan McGuffey here in Chicago. We have one more segment as we lead you to DePaul at Xavier here on 670 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Ryan McGuffey, Bruce Levine here on Inside the Clubhouse. It's like a seven-inning. This is like when the COVID doubleheaders happen. That's kind of what we have today on the show. We have a seven-inning start because of DePaul basketball playing Xavier at 10:45, and we've been discussing all kinds of stuff here about the Cubs and are they too cheap, and you know, Bruce is the house man, so he got some answers for us out there in Mesa during the break. We got plenty of callers. We should acknowledge the White Sox as well, who have done some things this week. Joey Gallo, once a guy that we were targeting, Chuck and I, back in the day when we were doing our podcast, targeting Joey Gallo as a
Did
possible
you say Jerry Callo?
Jerry Callo, that's what he's going by now. Yeah, Jerry Callo, also known as former Gold Glover and 40 home run hitter, Joey Gallo.
All right.
Is going to be.
If you're not a fan of my cousin Vinny, you have no idea what we're talking about. But since everybody's seen that movie, it's on like every 5 minutes if you still have the old cable system.
The old AMC. A lot of people here are cutting the cord, Bruce. Let's go to, speaking of spending, AJ has some thoughts in St. Charles. What's up, AJ? Welcome to Inside the Clubhouse.
Hey, good morning, guys. I don't like the Cubs having their self-imposed salary cap saying we're saving a few million for the trade deadline, because the trade deadline means you're also giving up assets. When it comes to free agency, and I don't mean the Bergman signing independently, but when it comes to free agency, it's just money. It's not assets. And I know that the Ricketts family is saying the Cubs are just to break even, but we all know that they have a wide real estate portfolio, and it gains greatly from Wrigleyville and the Cubs being there. And I don't want to hear about the Cubs owners saying, you know, we're just in it to break even. Now, I know that's just a fan talking, but the truth is, you know, free agency doesn't lose prospects. Trade deadline deals do. And that's why I don't like any of this.
Understood. So the apologist in me will remind people about the Jason Hayward contract, which is the richest in Cub history, as being a focal point for ownership when they look at long-term deals that don't necessarily work the way they were told they would. That was $184 million. More recently, you know, you're looking at Dansby Swanson's $177 million. And, you know, terrific guy. Terrific shortstop offensively, not quite what everybody expected. Now, he played with an injury last year. He might come back, be the offensive player he was in Atlanta, you know, in the past. So those are trigger points for ownership when they do give the long-term contracts, and something that, you know, they don't ignore. Fans do, because they say, next, okay? And I get it. I mean, you're going to make mistakes. But when they're that costly and you're still paying Jason Hayward, you know, 3 years down the line from the last time he played with you, those things resonate.
Yeah, look, I get it. Like, the fan of me would say, yeah, just it's money's money. First of all, assets to me, you know, you have seven or eight guys in the top 100. Hopefully they all hit, and realistically they won't. I don't mind trading assets by adding money, et cetera, at the deadline. Self-imposed salary caps are a team. Look, you have billionaires and you have billionaires, right? I mean, Tom Ricketts doesn't have as much money as Steve Cohen, and they might look at it. That's just a fact. Now, no one is. I'm not sitting here going, crying poor for Tom Ricketts at all. They put all of the money into the neighborhood, their money. They decided to do that. They didn't get any public funding. They didn't get any help from that. They are getting a lot of that back in the real estate that people are talking about. And a 309 says the Cubs own their own TV network. Well, yeah, they do, but they're not getting the kickback some of these other teams are. Let's talk about the Sox for a second here because we have a couple of White Sox callers. Let's get to Mike in Glencoe. He's been holding for a while. Mike, what's going on, man? Welcome inside the clubhouse. Mike.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
Bruce, I think the key question is we all need to know if Joey Gallo shows up to training camp in a 67 Cadillac convertible. So that'll be the first thing you're going to have to report on.
Wearing a Colonel Sanders suit.
One of the most interesting things that happened this week, at least from my perspective, was Keith Law's summary of the White Sox farm system. And he was, as you know, was super critical of Colson Montgomery. Do you guys share that perspective? Because if Montgomery is it doesn't turn out, it seems to me kills the White Sox development plan. What are you guys seeing? Is he in camp yet? What do you think? What did you think of Law's criticism?
Well, first of all, putting all your chips on one player is a dangerous game, a really dangerous game. And if White Sox hopes are only on Colson Montgomery, which I don't think they are, you're in for big trouble, because regardless of how he turns out, and hopefully he's a 30 home run hitter, drives in 100 a year, strikes out 160 times, hits about 250, plays a good defense at short or third base, whatever it is, you know, that one player is, you know, that is not the end all or be all for the Chicago White Sox moving forward. It just happens to be the one electric player they think might make it through that White Sox fans can hope for. And I feel for White Sox fans right now, because that's just not it. There's still, you know, this is a development year again. You're going to lose 100 games again. You just need to look and hope that the pitching, the young pitching they're developing, starts to matriculate and that there is better defensive play on the field. White Sox were the worst offensive team in baseball, the worst defensive team in baseball. They pitched well at certain points during the year, but those other two aspects made them into one of the all-time worst teams in baseball.
Yeah, I would say this. Don't get wrapped up too much in one projection of a player. Again, it's projections. Colson Montgomery had a tough year. He acknowledged it last year. I like that they didn't bring him up. I do. I like that they didn't reward him by just bringing up, let's get here and be part of this at the major league level. He just didn't have a great year. He had a 28% strikeout rate down in Charlotte. However, he did go to the Arizona Fall League, had a couple of great weeks, and took that in to the into the offseason. Do we know if he's going to be a 25 home run guy? No. But do I think he's going to be part of their long-term plans? Yes. I'll say this, too, about what the White Sox have done with their roster. He was their number one prospect for 2 years. Now he's their number fourth prospect. That's the type of talent that Chris Getz has been able to draft and acquire via trade. And that includes Kyle Teal, who's now ranked ahead of him. So let's go to Phil wants to chime in Lombard. There's a couple more minutes here on Inside the Clubhouse. What's up, Phil, on Inside the Clubhouse? Phil, you there?
I had a question for Bruce. My question was, I continue to hear that the reason the Dodgers are able to, like, spend like they do, and I hear this from you and I hear this from others, is because of this magnificent TV deal they have that brings them, and I think you had said earlier in the broadcast, a surplus of, like, $350 million a year.
Yep. Yeah.
And we heard as Cub fans, we heard before the marquee deal that, the Cubs are working on this TV deal, and once they get this deal, they're going to have all this surplus. My question is if the Dodgers are deal is worth $350 million a year, what is the Cubs deal? What's the Cubs deal worth?
The Cubs deal is year to year. They're caught in just like everybody else right now. The Dodgers got $8 billion, I think it was, in that deal.
Yep.
So the Cubs deal is they have a partner. Okay, partner assumes some of the costs, but when the Cubs started their TV deal, they thought that they were going to be getting somewhere in the area of $1 million of broadcast. This is what their thoughts are. I think it's closer now to half of that.
It might even be lower.
Right. So with that in mind, you know, that's the minutia from it, and that's the information I have. I mean, again, all I can tell you is what I know, right? You know, I don't have to defend it. I can just inform you what's out there.
Here's what I'll say real quickly. When they were working on that deal, Phil, TV was different than it was 6 years. They were trying to do things on projections, and yeah. People are watching television differently, including you probably, Phil.
There's no cord cutting going on.
Cord cutting is left and right, all-time high. Streaming services and platforms that are an all-time high. There were thoughts that YouTube and Hulu were going to carry these teams and RSNs. It's not happening. So with that not happening, there's less money in the deal. And as Bruce said, year to year, you're hopeful to get $50 million.
I'll end it with this. Every media company, radio, TV, internet, has to rethink and try to find ways to monetize their business now. It's not a matter of how much they're going to make. It's a matter of survival. Survival.
Bruce, we had a lot of good stuff. Recapping real quick here in the last minute, Matt Shaw joined us at the top of the show. Said he had a strained oblique on Monday, missed the last 4 days. He's going to be hitting today. He's probably already out there. You'll see them here shortly, and he'll get back to it full go next week. White Sox pitcher Sean Burke, Robbie behind the glass, making us all sound really good from both Arizona and Chicago. Bruce, what are you looking forward to this week?
Just seeing the continued development of both the pitching staffs, both players, position players in for both teams. So want to see on the White Sox side about Luis Robert, where he's at. Cubs side, you know, will they continue to plug in? Will they find a third baseman, center fielder, first baseman backup to augment everything that they've done in this offseason? Lots of fun out here. We'll be reporting all week long. People can follow me on Twitter, MLB, Bruce Levine, on our website, 670thescore.com, where I write Cubs and Sox every day. Ryan, have a great week.
You too, Bruce. Look forward to the reports. I'm Ryan McGuffey. Robbie, you were awesome, man. This is Inside the Clubhouse. We'll be back next week here on 670 The Score.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.